Tonight on Arena, new albums from Lady Gaga, RSAG and Psychic Markers up for review, and Anglo-Indian meets Anglo-Irish in Kovari Madhavan's new novel, The Tainted Country. @51551 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. And we'll start this evening with album reviews. This week's big release, of course, is the new album from Stefani Joanne Angelina Germanata. That's Lady Gaga to you and me. Her sixth album is called Chromatica. Next up, and quite by coincidence, Chroma is the very similarly titled album from Kilkenny-based drummer, songwriter, dance and electronic artist RSAG, otherwise known as Jeremy Hickey, and rarely seen above ground. And finally, London indie five-piece Psychic Markers follow their 2018 release Hardly Strangers with a self-titled album. Nadine O'Regan, Simon Marr have been listening, and we'll start with Lady Gaga. Played a duet from the album that featured Ariana Grande on Wednesday night's programme. Let's go for something by the lady herself to start us off. Get your dance shoes on for this one, actually, if you have them ready. Off you go now. Go. Stupid Love was the title of that track from Chromatica, the new album from Lady Gaga. As I said, Nadine O'Regan and Simon Marr are our reviewers this evening. Sadly, not sitting in front of me because I can't see whether they were chair dancing during that particular track or not. And thankfully, they didn't see me chair dancing during that particular track. Simon, I'll come to you first because I believe you're suggesting that this album, the best thing you should have if you're listening to this, is a set of 1995 Lidl disco lights. That's very specific. Is there something at home now flashing around as you're doing this review?
The truth always comes out during a review.
Sure does.
No, I just think there's what's great about it is that it's so utterly unapologetic about what it is. You know, you can tell straight away. It's like, okay, we listened to a whole lot of records in the 1990s. You know, we listened to a lot of disco. I listened, you know, listened to Madonna. I listened to Vogue, you know, and then decided I was going to launch my music career. Did it, and now I've returned from having done so much. When you think your last album was almost like country-esque, and then obviously there was A Star Is Born and everything in between. But this is just unashamedly disco. And yeah, get your little 1995 disco lights out for it.
Is 1995 the price, by the way, of the year?
Both.
Okay. I'm going to let that one go now. Sorry. Nadine, we're talking about, I won't ask you about disco lights. I'm really tempted to keep this going. Lady Gaga, she's a singer, she's a songwriter, she's a producer, she's an actor, she's a businesswoman. She's really, there's a huge amount to her, not just her disco dancing album that we're talking about this evening. Cultural icon, I think. Would that be fair to say?
A cultural icon, certainly. And also, by the way, Simon, I will just say, if you're short of the little lights, you can also get the bike lights and just put them into the sitting room. It'll do the job. And actually, this is the kind of album that I think sees her come back from a point where, you know, she actually struggled a little bit on the last record. It wasn't as well received. And then, of course, with A Star Is Born in 2018, her star also went back into the ascendant and she kind of recovered to some extent. Because she had been flailing a little bit, to be fair. And this album sees her go back to what she is fundamentally best at, which is delivering a really tightly constructed, sophisticated album that contains a lot of heart. Their lyrics are universal without being cliched, and an amazing bunch of producers that are clearly killing themselves to give her the very, very best pop sounds.
Yeah, and not only producers, but a number of collaborators on this album as well, Simon. Ariana Grande, as I mentioned, we played the track from her on Wednesday night's programme. Elton John is in there, and K-pop superstars Blackpink are in there as well. Do all the collaborations work?
Do you know, there's three big collaborations, and you mentioned there Elton John. The Elton John one is grand. The Ariana Grande one is probably that bit better. But the one with Blackpink, who are sort of K-poppers, it's just one of those things that you find things that just work. And I think it's the combination. as Nadine says, the producers that they've been brought on board. But when you put Blackpink in with her on Sarah Candy, it just works so well. And it's what's amazing is that it works instantly. It's not as if it feels like it's been overly thought through or overly researched. It's obviously they just put these two together and it just works.
And despite your knowledge of the use of bicycle lights with this particular album, Nadine O'Regan, you had qualms about reviewing the album because of, was it the vocals you were worried about?
Well, do you know what? I think you can really admire an artist, and I do admire Lady Gaga. I've seen her live. I think she's brilliant without necessarily absolutely loving the tone of her vocal, and that's not something anyone can do anything about. You know, it's just a very, very, I suppose, personal taste as to the instrument that she has, that she's using. And so for me, a little bit, there are other artists whose vocals I prefer. And actually, it's one of the reasons I think Rain On Me, the track with Ariana Grande, is so successful, because I think Ariana brings this real kind of purring cat mentality to the track, where she sort of drapes herself over the track in this very sort of languorous way, whereas Lady Gaga does this almost robotic, intentionally robotic vocal, and the pair work really, really well together. But generally speaking, both Kylie and, funnily enough, Lady Gaga, I've always struggled a bit with just their bass vocal, but I think she uses it brilliantly here. And bear in mind, technically it's a great instrument. She's got tons of power. She's belting out where she needs to belt out. She's able to go into this almost really flat tone at times that is a little odd, and it is a little bit almost neutral in terms of, you know, is it male, is it female? And it's very interesting, actually, because of often what she sings about, because she is talking about the disco. She is talking about, I suppose, different genders, different times. And it's one of the reasons why she's so beloved by her gay audience as well. She is someone who is absolutely vulnerable, talking about her own love life, talking about her own feelings, and then setting it to the most amazing bunch of pop tunes.
All right. You both mentioned collaborators there, and Simon, you were particularly fond of the Blackpink collaboration, which has the wonderful title of Sour Candy. There we go. Sour Candy, the title of that track from Lady Gaga in collaboration with Blackpink. And that's from her new album, Chromatica. Of course, I'm not going to ask you how many stars, how many disco lights from you this evening, Simon Marr.
this is definitely disco-tastic. So I think this is worth four strobes out of five.
Bicycle lights from you, Nadine O'Regan.
Four bicycle lights.
Four. Okay, so you're both on four out of five for Lady Gaga and Chromatica. Let us move on then to our second album this evening. Quite, as I said in my introduction, quite by coincidence, very similar title to Lady Gaga's. This Lady Gaga's been Chromatica, and this album called Chroma comes from the artist RSAG. That is rarely seen above ground, and given that is it 10 years since his last full album, that kind of seems to fit in with the with the musical moniker of Jeremy Hickey. We listened to a track, given that we've had a couple of dancey tracks, so I'll slow it down a little bit now with Morning Sun from RSAG. Who's got it made? Yes, very different sound altogether. RSAG, rarely seen above ground, and a track called Morning Sun from the new album Chroma. Who are we talking about, Simon Marr, when we talk about RSAG or rarely seen above ground?
Kilkenny-based Jeremy Hickey, and he's one of those people that is very well known for his live performances, the rarely seen above ground live performances, where he tends to, I suppose, back himself and build the music from there, have been well known for a long time. But this is his first album that he's released. You mentioned earlier on, this first album that he released in 10 years' time. And I remember asking somebody about it back then, and they were saying it's a really good album, but it sounds like a drummer's album because sort of percussion was his thing. But by the time we've gotten to now, we've gotten to 2020, he really has honed his craft. Mm. And he's come up with this album, which is just this amazing mixture of moods, if nothing else. And it's much more, I suppose, a much more full-formed version of him. And it's going to be one of those things that'll be fascinating to hear how it sounds in that live context as well.
Yeah, and so often when I come into studio and I have the joy of listening to these albums in studio setting, either with headphones or on the wonderful speakers that we have here, I hear the textures that I don't get at home on my own system. That track in particular, very layered, very textured, Nadine.
Yeah, and actually I think what's really remarkable about this album as a whole, it's 10 songs, about 45 minutes, is the pace throughout the record. There's a sense that he builds, the rhythm eddies, and there's something about the way he drops different instruments in at different points that feels so remarkably cohesive. And I can already imagine him performing this live at Electric Picnic, if we were to have Electric Picnic, and it being a thrilling experience on, you know, a stage that will be like body and soul.
Yeah, and there are times, Simon, I think, obviously on the track we just heard, it's more like a traditional song with lyrics and, you know, he's saying something within the story or telling us a story there as well. But quite often the voice is just in there, almost like a type of texture.
Mm, oh, absolutely. Like you're talking about layers upon layers. And one of the things that you would worry about when you do get involved in such layers and such textures, that it would become this overproduced mess. And it happens so often. But he's able to do that because the fact, and this is the way that he's laid the album out, track by track, that he kind of builds himself up to certain points and then lets himself come back down again. And you get something, as you mentioned there, something more traditional in the song before he works himself back up into more sort of textures and layers as it goes on. And it's beautifully done that way.
You mentioned also, Simon, the fact that the first album people spoke about a lot about drumming. Well, the drumming hasn't disappeared, as you will hear on this track, which is called The Jungle. There you go, The Jungle from RSAG and the new album Chroma. That's what Simon was talking about, I think, Nadine. You really get a sense of it in that track. It really, he's done an awful lot in the space of, the entire track is 3 minutes 46 and we listened to about 2.5, nearly 3 minutes of it there. He's done a huge amount in a very short space of time.
Yeah, it's a really extraordinary listen from the perspective of thinking, right, there's really just him and his co-writer, Jamie Walsh, is obviously hugely involved. But it's one of those albums that is genuinely thrilling at points. Like your ears prick up and you're thinking, wow, that is amazing. One caveat I would have, however, is that the drums are always quite high in the mix. So over the course of 10 tracks, that can get a bit wearying on the ear. But having said that, it's kind of understandable considering where he's coming from as primarily a drummer.
And I suppose it'll also be very interesting to see and hear how this might work in a live setting if we get there at some point over the next few months, Simon.
We will, yeah. And that's the thing. And when we do get back to regular life, when we do get back to seeing gigs live, this is the sort of stuff that should come across really well, because he's able to do that as well as having, I suppose, this songwriting nous, you know, and having the musical ability. He has that sort of production skill where he's able to, in that live context, just put this stuff together in such a way as to make it a totally immersive experience. So I'm really looking forward to hearing this live.
And just before you give us stars, maybe you'd surmise as to whether you think, Nadine, he has a big fan base and a very devoted fan base. Will this bring new listeners to him and new fans to RSAG?
I think he sounds so vital on this record that for people who love bands like LCD Sound System, or for people who love maybe even artists like John Hopkins, RSAG will win a younger audience that didn't know him 10 years ago. And I think he will get those fans. He'll get those alternative fans who still very much want to hear new sounds. I don't think it's going to be mainstream, but I don't think he ever thought it would be.
All right. Stars then from you, Nadine.
4 stars.
4 stars from you, summary, and stars from you, Simon.
Yeah, I think this is a really strong return from Jeremy Hickey, and I think it's one that's good, that is going to sort of stick in the memory for a good while. And I'm going to give it 4 cats out of 5.
Four what out of five?
Cats.
Oh,
4 Kilkenny. Cats.
Oh, Kilkenny. Yeah, very slow, Sean. I was so busy getting ready to say not a bicycle light or a disco light in sound, but I forgot that the cats would make their appearance instead. That's Chroma from RSAG. Move on to our final album then for this evening, Psychic Markers, London-based indie 5-piece. Last album in 2018 was entitled Hardly Strangers, but they're back with a self-titled follow-up. It's called Psychic Markers, of course. Here's the single from the album, a track called Clouds. And that is a track called Clouds from our third album this evening, self-titled album Psychic Markers. You know, I asked myself earlier today, who are Psychic Markers, Nadine O'Regan? And you asked yourself the same question. It's a hard one to answer in the usual fashion of the help of Dr.
Yes.
Google.
Yeah, and they're a funny one because, you know, it's their third album and they have said in their own press material that they hail from areas as far apart as Australia and Yorkshire. They're based in London. But remarkably, there really is very, very little about them online. And I discovered that they have 189 followers on Twitter, so they need to do a bit of work there. But having said that, they've clearly put their efforts and the focus into the music, because even though this could probably be considered, I'm guessing, a little bit of a side project for the individual members of the band, because they have all been in other bands over the years, there is a lovely cohesive quality to this album. It feels very assured, and it's a very absorbing listen. There's a touch of kind of David Cronenberg, and actually they've talked about him in interviews, that sort of filmscape sort of vibe. And there's also sort of elements of, I don't know, I mean, you could think of bands like, going back to Joy Division, I know it's a cliched reference, but it's there. Also, I guess that kind of psych pop element where you're listening, there's not necessarily a lot of vocals, but you're feeling very, the moodiness of it is quite appealing.
And a very distinctive vocal style from Stephen Dove. There's an interesting origin story on this one, Simon.
There is indeed, yeah. So Stephen Dove, the frontman of the band, was happily driving cross country in the States, and he got caught in a sandstorm. And I think it's pretty much because he'd never been in a sandstorm before. He had no idea what to do. And he said that even though the sandstorm, as it crossed his path, only took a few seconds, it caused him to go through that whole idea of thinking about, Jesus, you know, life is short. And he says he gave him a new angle on everything. And that's why he decided that, well, this now album, even though it's not their debut, this is the album that's going to be called Psychic Markers. Because now he says, I can see. I have been reborn. My eyes have been opened. And that's where this album came from.
Yeah, so in other words, he found out the reason he called the band Psychic Markers when that sandstorm happened is kind of what he's suggesting to us, is it?
I think, yeah, very rapidly he found it out, I think, yes.
The sounds that they're giving us here, you gave us some reference points there, Nadine. Is it individual enough to stand out from the references that you gave us, the Joy Division, etc. references?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because putting on the album, you immediately think of, I suppose, in a way, also the trip-hop period, Massive Attack's Mezzanine, records like that. There's that moodiness, that minor key sort of melancholia. But over time, I guess, not to quote Tom Petty on you, but like I don't hear a single, you know, like aren't any songs that are so far above the pack that you can hear why this band needs to be big. And maybe that's not their intention, you know, maybe they're happy to have it as a kind of a moody soundscape. But I did wonder if the album as a whole could be vastly improved if there was maybe a frontman that had just that touch more charisma, or something to join the dots a little bit more, or maybe one or two tracks that were just so good that you had to tell your friends about them and you had to say, listen to this band.
Yeah, I mean, you've said, Simon, that you think there are enough good moments on the album to keep you there. But I'm just looking at the track listing. I meant to say with the Lady Gaga album, I mean, 16 tracks. I wondered, had it overstayed its welcome? RSAG that we just spoke about, 10 tracks, and it feels it's just the right length of time. With this one, with Psychic Markers, 10 tracks. But I kind of, when I was finished listening, I thought, is that it all? Is there not another couple that you're going to give us?
Yeah, it does seem there is a definite sense of the album not being utterly complete. And it's interesting that even the single, the song, I suppose, that you played first, the single there, Clouds, appears as, you know, and every record man's nightmare is it appears as a big song four on side two. They always used to say, look, you got to front load the stuff. If you're going to grab people in, you got to put this, you know, the big singles first on side one, first on side two. So it's as if, I don't know whether it's that they don't have the awareness yet maybe to put it together, or as to maybe it's a very deliberate decision that they saying, look, this isn't our buzz. We just play the music and you either like it or you don't.
And this is the way they finish the album up when the track called Baby It's Time. That is the lyric, Baby It's Time to Go. That's all we get for the entire 4.5 minutes of the track. But Nadine, you mentioned this cinematic idea. And as that started, I thought, it's not quite in the same crazy style of territory, but it's a touch of Ry Cooder and the music for Paris, Texas in there, that guitar.
Yeah, and the thing is, you wouldn't actually argue with the music that's here at all. It's maybe just that there's an incompleteness to it that if you saw that against the big screen with a beautiful shot, you know, it would absolutely hit you between the eyes. So in a way, it's kind of, I suppose what we're both talking about in a way is there's a sense of absence. So everything that's here is kind of really strong, but at the same time, you're going, yeah, is that quite enough?
All right. Stars from you, Nadine.
Three
from you. And from you, Simon?
And you know, I think for the tracks on it that really, really are good, so the likes of Enveloping Cycles and Clouds and those bits, for some reason I love that final track. I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5.
A 3.5 from Simon Marr. Well, Simon Marr and Nadine O'Regan then, off to their Bicycle Lights and Disco Lights respectively, speaking to me this evening about Lady Gaga's Chromatica, RSAG's Chroma, and Psychic Markers' self-titled album Psychic Markers.